Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
It's Haunted Playground right here on the Live Paranormal Radio Network. Please join us at liveparanormal.com. And please join us everywhere, all of our syndicates that we are so proud to be a part of, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Podmatic, Podbean, Blog Talk Radio, and I know there's more, and I need to memorize them, but those are the bunch I've memorized so far. We love you all, and we're so glad to be a part of that family, and I'm so happy to be a part of the Live Paranormal family. We're here every Wednesday at 6 o'clock Pacific time doing Haunted Playground. I also do Raising the Vibration on Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific time. And please join me there. And, of course, I do three video shows on Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday nights for Live Paranormal's video channel. Please join me there at facebook.com/TheLiveParanormal. I'll be there tonight doing the companion to this show. It's called Haunted Playground After Dark. There'll be some free psychic readings. I'm Sheena Metal. That's the talking head talking at you right now. I'm a psychic medium. I'm an interfaith minister. I'm a 27 year now talk radio host coming out of Los Angeles. I'm also a paranormal survivor, the daughter of a psychic medium. I got lots of things going on. This is the show where we talk about everything from life after death, is it real, to, hey, maybe you think you have a Loch Ness monster in your pool. That's why you're here listening to Haunted Playground. Every week on the show, I gather the brightest and most beautiful minds and hearts and souls in both the paranormal and the spiritual communities, and we talk about everything we can imagine. And that's what I do every week, and this guest is certainly no exception to that rule. He's a wonderfully talented creative artist and a wonderfully talented spiritual artist, a wonderful psychic medium in his own right, a very dear friend and a big part of my heart. And it's always so great to have him here on one of my radio shows because I adore him deeply. Please welcome to the show, the wonderful Paul Jacek is here. How are you, my friend?
Sheena.
It's good to hear your voice. Thank you for coming back on the show. Yay!
Oh, my goodness. It's been way too long, and I blame me.
Oh, okay. You've been busy with it in a play.
I did. I went under direction for almost 3 months during that play, and I'm kind of, now that it's in my rearview mirror, I still think it's August, so I'm time tripping, really.
Plays will do that to you, right? Isn't that interesting how that happens? I don't know where the time goes. I think it's still August, too. I think something happened to us when all those planets went into retrograde and like an invisible netting got put over the top of all of us, and all of us have no idea where August, September, and October went.
Oh, I would agree with you. Coming out of this Mercury retrograde seemed to be really deeply annoying.
Yeah. And is it okay to say to you in the most high-minded spiritual way that this Mercury retrograde was a motherfucker?
That's the spiritual term I would use. And there was so much else. Pluto went direct. Thank goodness Jupiter's gone direct. And, you know, I talk like I'm an astrologer, but I certainly work with enough of them that there is such a thing as timing. And since I've returned to the beach, I don't think I've been more aware of the natural timing of the planet as opposed to man's created time.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And the seasons of life.
The natural timing of the planet is an interesting thing. Yes. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And the lessons, right? The lessons that come from every Mercury retrograde we survive. I don't always think the Mercury retrograde is such a bad thing. Like, I usually am like, why is my computer so slow? I hate the spinny blue ball. But it's not normally like a thing. This one was a thing. Like, I literally felt it in the deepest part of my spiritual, you know, soul. And I also felt the new moon in Libra very hard. And this full moon in Aries, I mean, I have told people, in the last 2 years, I've developed PMS, pre-moon syndrome, like a couple of days. And it's just like premenstrual syndrome. A couple of days before the moon, I start to get teary and a little bit irritable, and then I start to feel like my world is coming to an end. And it's funny because I was one of those girls that never really had PMS, premenstrual syndrome, but this moon, mm-hmm. I mean, I just want to cut a bitch the day before the moon. And then I think, oh, that's right, the moon is coming. And then the
this moon in Aries,
day, right? I just want to sleep. Oh, and I'm in Aries.
Yeah, well, it's either two. It either is so overwhelming people want to sleep, or they just wake up cranky.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and that may be what's going on with my cat. I thought it was the deworming shot. But my kitten is also in Aries, born April 4th. He's an Easter baby. And born on Easter Sunday. And I tell you, this cat for the last 2 days has done nothing but sleep.
Could be.
And I bet
Well, as a double cancer,
this one is really pulling you in.
Yes. I want to burn everything I own, and I want to scream at people for no apparent reason. And, you know, they really don't look. Yeah. I'm just so cranky.
Oh, yeah. I just want to walk up to strangers and hand them like a stuffed bunny and say, why is everyone so mean? And then cry. That's what this one has been like for me. It's been like I just really want to everywhere. Like, I think they're all scared of me. The baristas at the Coffee Bean, they're like, oh, God, here she comes, this crazy lady who cries, and that's why everyone is so mean. It just kind of hit me during all these retrogrades and during this time. Getting close to this moon, that, man, a lot of people are mean. And normally I just laugh that off. I mean, it's not new news to me, but it just is really kind of hurting my soul right now. I don't understand. Yeah, and I think that retrogrades sometimes do make people meaner, and they make me, like, more empathic and softer and want to cry more.
Coming off this play, which was, I think, in a larger sense, a lot of people have been going through their timeline and have returned, like a retrograde, to areas that needed to be healed. And
sure.
I noticed people are returning to things that are really comforting and familiar. Many people have moved back home or moved close to their parents. I myself moved back to Long Beach after being in Hollywood for 27 years. Four blocks from where I lived in 1980. And this play, which was, I thought about you a lot. In fact, Christopher and I talked about you a lot, if your ears were burning, about how much we love
Christopher
you.
Christopher Charles.
Indeed.
I love
and,
you. You know I love you both.
I do. Well, but we were, this play, I cried most every rehearsal, and I fought tears during the run of the show because it was pretty impactful. It is. I thought about you a lot because of you did last summer at Bluefish Cove.
Yes, I did.
And that's
10 years ago.
Is
10
the,
years ago
the,
now.
Get out of here. Wow. That's what this is. You know, Love, Valor, Compassion is sort of that male version of last summer at Bluefish Cove. And I just would stand in the wings and cry. I also got to work with some amazing actors, Christopher Charles being one of them.
He's wonderful.
It was, and as I look at it in the rearview mirror, I feel so much cleansed and so much at peace with a lot that I didn't have a chance to process during the time I was going through it, of the AIDS crisis. And it was pretty powerful. I'm So as we swing into this new season, you know, as we come close to Fallen and getting close to the end of the year, I don't even know. I really have to look at my journal to see what I did this year. I've just been on the 405.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you picked the wrong time to do a play right after you moved here. I like you in the same journey, right? I literally am fixing up the house I grew up in. I have moved back to what I consider to be my hometown, although New Haven, Connecticut is really my hometown. But as a kid, we moved every 5 years, so nothing ever felt permanent till we moved to Huntington Beach. And after 30 years, my 30-year anniversary of closing escrow on my house was March 15th of this year. I have moved. I mean, I still have my home in the Valley, and I'm not getting rid of it. But I fear it is going to become my lair where I see clients and do healings. And I don't know that I will ever live full-time in it again because I just got drawn to where my family was, and my family is here. My two best friends are here, and their families are my families, and my partner is here. And it just seemed like this was home. And I was just telling my guest on my Raising the Vibration show this yesterday that I left here because it didn't agree with me spiritually and politically in the 80s and the 90s. But I'm an older, wiser person now, and now I believe that it needs my help, and I'm really here for that. And you've known me from the beginning since I first conceived one day opening a spiritual center, Angel City Spiritual Center. And then one day on the PCH got the great idea that why don't I do one in Huntington Beach and call it Surf City Spiritual Center. Now I'm pretty sure the Surf City one is going to be first because I just feel like this area needs people to tell anyone who has any kind of alternate spirituality, you know what, it's okay and here's a safe place for you. And there's a lot of those places in L.A. Not that I don't want to start one there, too, because I do. But there's a lot of those places in L.A. There's not a lot of those places in Orange County. And I would be lying if I said that in the midst of the pandemic and the quarantine, I am eyeing little buildings and thinking about what a nice little church space they would be. But,
well, you know.
Who knows when it'll happen? Who knows when it'll happen? But it's the dream, right? It's my retirement project.
I get it. And I, through the Universalist Church, I too am the Reverend Paul Jasek. So, you know, call me. I'm there.
Yes. I'm going to need, especially when I have two. I can't be in both places at once.
There you go.
You know, I have my whole life. It was funny because originally, before my life took the spiritual turn, although, like I always have to say as sort of a codicil, I was always a spiritual person. One day when I got a wild hair up my butt to quit entertainment because I was wandering around at that point handing bunnies to people and asking why everyone was so mean, I was going to open a bar because I was booking music as a living. And I thought, why am I going to all these other places? I should just pull everything in together. And what I really wanted at the time was a bar restaurant because Spirit had started giving me recipes and I was cooking for the first time in my life. And maybe have a place up over it or next to it that could be like a little theater space where there could be comedy and theater and improv and classes that I was going to teach. Now, all of that seems amazingly feasible, plus a church and a crystal shop. So I've just kind of put everything, I just occurred to me really today on the phone with you that, oh, that was kind of the same idea as my nightclub, but now it has a church and a crystal shop in it. But still a place where the church can be rented for, the space can be given for plays, it can be used for, you know, Saturday night is music night or, you know, whatever the story is, comedy night, so that it is a place that isn't only ripe with God but is also ripe with art, which for me there is no separation between spirituality and art in my life, and I know you're that way. So
exactly.
I'd like a place that really honors both of the God of gods and the God of theater.
Well, and it's been quite the journey, Sheena. You know, I remember I saw a posting of Sweet Jenny Stewart, and then I flashed and missed Patrick so much.
I know. Our sweet Patrick.
I just do. And I thought, you know, pretty much, my life has been tumbling along like rocks in a tumbler. There's been amazing.
Yeah.
I would have never imagined 2 years ago I'd be back on Ocean Boulevard.
I know. Do you want to hear a story about our sweet Patrick, who we will always miss?
Please.
So when I met Patrick, he told me a bunch of things in our first meeting. I was introduced to him by our mutual friend, Deborah Wilson, who was at that time also in a big revelatory spiritual period in her life. And we went over to the coffee shop, and we had lunch, and he took my hand and he asked me if I was a diabetic. And I thought, yeah. Here's every psychic wants to tell you you're a diabetic because you're fat. Well, unbeknownst to me at that time, my blood sugar was in the 500s. And I was losing my hair, and I was a raging diabetic, even though I had just had my blood tested the summer before, and it was fine. I think it was up 1 point from where they wanted it in August, and by April it was in the 500s. So I didn't know. The other thing he told me was that my mother had unbelievable sadness, and she was scared to tell me about it. And I said, okay. And then I called her that night and asked her about it. And she said, you know, it's true. I'm going through a really bad time, and I haven't wanted to tell you about it. The third thing that he told me was that I was going to meet a man named Michael who was going to put me in a TV show. And later about 6 months later, I met Michael Vaccaro and then wound up doing 4 seasons of Child of the 70s with him, which is how I know our dear Christopher we were talking about earlier. But the last thing he told me was, you're going to meet somebody named Arnie who's going to change your life. And I laughed at him and said, Patrick, nobody's named Arnie. And he used to always say to me, have you met Arnie yet? And I said, well, I'm going to meet some guy who was like did like a day job on Leave It to Beaver. Like, nobody's name is Arnie. And then one day I was looking at the Facebook page of my brand new girlfriend, and her last name is Arnie.
Oh.
Is that the weirdest thing?
That was
And by then
years
our dear
ago.
Patrick had passed.
Yes.
What?
I'm half covered in chills. No,
yeah,
I'm
10 years ago he told me that. It was spring of 2011, the first day I met him. And it never occurred to me, because her name is obviously spelled A-N-R-E-Y, and it's not a first name, and I was looking for some weird dude named Arnie. And I was literally looking at her Facebook page the day I put the announcement up on Facebook that we were in our relationship. And I looked at her name, and I went, oh, my God, and I called her, and I said, you're not going to believe this story, but your name is Arnie. So our dearly beloved Patty, who this world was too much for him, I always think about we went to Sizzler, and he put the tuna salad in his pocket so he could have some for later.
That's right.
He was such a delicious, eccentric man. And what a loss, right?
Yeah. Well, and it comforts me to think that he's at rest. So.
Yes. Me too.
Because it was not an easy run for him. Yeah. It was not an easy run.
No. No. But. And you know what's sad? Is it was an easier run until he really embraced his gifts. And then after he stopped smoking pot, which, you know, marijuana is like the number one thing that blankets your psychic gifts.
You bet.
He just started. I think it's worse than opiates and alcohol. I think it literally is the psychic gift blocker. And listening to the show right now are probably thousands of people literally with the pipe going to their mouth thinking, oh, yeah, is that why I do this? But it makes me sad that his life got so much harder when he started to embrace his gifts. Because you and I both know, because we've been there, it's a real hayride to be a psychic.
Oh,
it's not for everyone.
Well, and you know, now that I've been doing it full time for I've been a reader for 30 years, but to really work it 24/7, I had an instance I was telling a friend of mine here at the Pike. And all of a sudden, I was talking to a friend of mine. We'd done a little shopping at the outlet store, And suddenly it felt like somebody grabbed the side of my face and shoved me down. And I actually stumbled. She said, "Are you all right?" And I thought, "Oh, my God, am I having a stroke?" And the images were so quick. And I kept saying, if we talk, it stops. But you talk to me and let me just mumble. Long story short, it was, I believe, a young girl. This is the difference between ghosts and an imprint that got nabbed or taken there when the Pike was an amusement park, and I'm thinking late 40s, early 50s. So people think that being a psychic medium or being doing the work that we do sounds glamorous and interesting. You know, there are days it's just not. That was really tough to get through because this poor girl was not supposed to be at the Pike, and she got taken, and they never found her.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I think on every day, it's a difficult thing. It is, it's your calling that you're here for them. And you're here for that, and you're them, I mean spirit. You're here for that, and you understand that's your service, and you've accepted that. But it still makes it difficult, you know? I remember somebody saying to me once, how could you be a doctor and, like, get a call at 3 o'clock in the morning? And sure enough, when I had my hysterectomy, and I got so anemic, they were calling my doctor every half hour at, like, 3 as they were doing my blood transfusion. And I thought about that then. I thought about, like, oh, how could you be a doctor? But if it's your service, it's your service, right? And this is our service, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. And I'm grateful for it. You know, I am.
I am, too.
In fact, I think the times we've done Haunted Playgrounds and when we would do tandem reading, let's do that sometime. Let's find a time that we can do some tandem readings with folks. I would do
that.
Sure.
I would love that.
Oh, I thought I lost you. Oh, I'm so sorry. I moved.
No, there was a comma there. I was waiting for you to finish the sentence. I thought you said, as you know, sometimes when I would do Haunted Playground, and we would do tandem readings, and I was waiting for the other part of the sentence.
There he is. I hear him.
She is going to be 18 on Halloween, Molly.
Molly will be 18?
On Halloween. Mm-hmm. She's
wow.
got intestinal cancer, and she's tougher than ever. Yep.
Well,
she's
certainly.
Yeah. She's jacked to the gills on steroids. Don't let her fool you. Dolphin fry for cancer, Kitty, isn't she?
But
what
a sweet and loyal
story.
Friend.
She's been such a good girl my whole life, right? So I took her to the vet because she was having intestinal problems and not relieving herself in the box. And I was sure she was dying because, you know, cats don't really get diarrhea, and when they do, it's not usually a good thing. So I literally took her to the vet to say goodbye. I was sure they were going to say, she's cat 18, her heart is gone. Let me tell you something. This little sucker's blood work came back. I would give anything for her blood work. She literally, aside from the cancer, has nothing wrong with her. Her kidneys are perfect. Her liver is perfect. Her thyroid is perfect. All the things cats get, she doesn't have any of those things. She's a perfectly healthy cat, but she has cancer. Is that the weirdest thing? But this kind of cancer grows really slow in cats. And the vet said, you know, she could live another 2 or 3 years.
We'll take
that. Keep her on the steroids. Make her very, very happy and aggressive. And she's gained some weight back. She's very underweight. And but I look at my baby Cullen, who was born on April 4th, and I think when Cullen is 18, I'm going to be 72. That seems like a lot. Yep. And Molly will probably still be alive then.
She'll be
36.
Yeah, 780 years old, but
she'll still be an honorary Scorpio, and she'll still have to be on steroids. I love my babies. You know me. My cats are my life.
Yes, indeed.
Are you thinking about getting a new familiar now that you're down here at the beach?
Well, I've thought about it. In fact, I was thinking about getting maybe an older dog, you know. And then I thought, I'm teaching 4 classes. I'm up in L.A. at least twice a week. I thought, this running back and forth, maybe when I'm a little bit further along the active seniors role, where I'm playing checkers in the park, maybe that's the time to have a dog.
I get it. When you trade in your tarot cards for golf camp, is that the time?
Yeah, that's pretty close. I'm thinking about golf and tennis. It's happened. You know, I didn't move to Leisure World, but the lifestyle is looking good. Let's do Insure Shooters.
Yeah. I heard they have a lot of fun, though. My partner told me that she used to play poker in there at somebody's house, and I'm like, really? In the Leisure World? So Leisure World's more fun than I've given it credit for. I like young people. Like, I, you know, my partner has kids, and her daughter is very close to us. I mean, they all are close to us, but, I mean, her daughter, I think, will live with us for a while. And, you know, I'd be happy for her to just live with us forever and have her kids, and then they all could live with us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I would be so okay with that. I don't know that I just like having young people around me. My mom was that way, too. She was like, I don't like places where there's all these old people. And I thought, I'm never going to be like my mom. She's just so mean to old people. But I kind of understand where she was coming from now. I'm just not a Scorpio, so I'm much more genteel in the way that I express it, you know?
Well, much like a little Cancer crab, I like to have my little house. I like to have a couple of people over, and then you know, people were talking about how difficult the pandemic was. I said, you know, basically as an only child, I play nicely in my room by myself. I was not really that impacted.
Me too. Yeah, and, you know, people, I mean, you know, and you know my life and your life before the pandemic was being out every single day. I would, when I was that busy before the quarantine, I would dream of a day that I didn't have to do anything. And my idea of not having to do anything was sitting home with, like, movies or TV shows just running in the background and getting all the paperwork done on my laptop that I didn't have time to get done. And that's still kind of my thing. I mean, that's my downtime. I don't really stop working. I just stop having to be out in public with people and have makeup on, you know? And I love that. I love people go, I hate doing my bookkeeping. I'm like, really? I love it. I just wish I had more free time to do it. I love that kind of downtime of being able to stay in one place and, you know, have my water and drink my water and get caught up on all the shows I want to watch and also get all the stuff done that you have to get done when you run a business, right? Because it's not like the business is going to run itself. But
exactly. You know, I was gifted with a gorgeous big flat screen TV that I haven't hooked up yet. I've been in this apartment a year. Because why? I'm never home.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah.
But my fear is, I used to say this to Robert Osborne all the time, one of the reasons I didn't have Turner Classic Movies is once I would sit down and listen to his voice, that's where they would find me. I would never leave the house. I would just watch Turner Classic Movies 24/7.
Yeah, and with me, it's all like paranormal, psychological thrillers, things about the innermost workings of the universe and the Homo sapiens.
Indeed.
That's my fascinating thing. But you like the escapism stuff.
Well, I do, but I also, I'm with you. I also am so fascinated about what they're finding in Antarctica and the non-human presence that's here on Earth that I find it is so interesting.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. That's so funny because I was thinking today that I wanted to talk to you about that today. Isn't that weird? Molly's agreeing that it's very, very weird. So I did a documentary this summer that I was honored to be featured in about going to Joshua Tree and looking for off-worlders.
Yes.
And it was an amazing, a lot of fun. And there is a small possibility that I may be going to Roswell next month to finish it.
Nice.
which would also be amazingly awesome. So what is your take on that? I don't know that we've ever on the radio talked about how you feel about off-worlders.
Well, my experience is sort of interesting and spotty. Now, I grew up in Colorado. I grew up in a farming community. And I must have been about, it was before I was 10. And there was, so that would have been around 1967, 68. There was an issue with cattle mutilation. And I didn't really know about this until much later, but I do remember that my dad had come in, and we lived in the middle of 5 acres, and there was farms all around us. And I heard him talking to my mom saying, you know, there was no blood. He said, it's the strangest thing. And my mother said, well, it must have been coyotes or something must have got a hold of it. And I remember him being so emphatic, he said, Juanita, there was no blood. It just as if this calf tipped over, the left side of its skull and all of its reproductive organs were just gone. Not just like a mess, like entrails and mess all over. He said, the bone is clean. And I remember thinking that was creepy and I forgot about it. So time spins, life goes on. I was 19 years old and I was working up at a resort in Estes Park, Colorado, which is about 45 miles from where my parents were. But I was home for a few days and I remember laying in my bed and we had a shake shingled roof and I could hear something rattling along the top of the roof. And I thought, now, we don't have any trees next to the house at all. And it looked like somebody peered over the edge of the roof. The next thing I know, I'm standing outside in my underwear with my father just ahead of me. It is bright as day. And my father was a very, very, he didn't even roll up his shirt sleeves. I only saw my father in a swimsuit once in my life. But he's standing there in his underwear in the middle of the backyard. He turns and said to me, look, it looks just like a cat. And on the pitch of the roof was a cougar with a human face. And then I remember following him in the back door. I was 19, so that was 1978. So there's 10 years between these two instances. Mm-hmm. Time spins, life goes on. My partner Jim and I are back visiting my parents. They're off somewhere, and we're in the living room watching TV, and I am suddenly creeped out. Now, we still live in the middle of 5 acres. There's just big, vacant picture windows, and I was going around closing all the drapes. And he said, what is wrong with you? And I said, I am so creeped out. And he said, well, you know, just sit down and watch TV, eat the, you know, Cheetos and be quiet. So the next morning, we're talking to my parents, and I said, and I remember I had this dream. I dreamt, and I start to tell the story, and my dad looks at me and he goes, I remember that.
Wow.
And I looked at him, and he's a Kansas farm boy. He doesn't do any of this. And my mother looked at me, and she goes, is that when we had the grass clippings in the bed? And I looked at both of them, and I wanted to peel my own skin off. I thought, it's not just my active imagination.
I'm sorry, you cut out. What did she say?
They woke up
your mom?
Next morning, and there were grass clippings in the bed.
Oh. Was that from your dad running out there?
Yeah, from being outside.
Wow.
And so I thought, it wasn't just my imagination. My father saw it, too. And as we walked to the car, I said, what did you see? He said, wasn't it like a cougar? I said, yeah, but do you remember it had a human face? And he said, I don't remember the face, but don't you think if we'd seen a cougar, we would have talked about it before this? Nearly 15, 18 years have passed.
Yeah.
So time spins, life goes on. I am talking to some people who are abductees.
Oh,
and I remember sitting there
thinking,
I'm either going to be sick to my stomach or, once again, pull my own skin off. When they said, well, usually, if you happen to be an abductee, the off-worlders or the ETs will give you a a false memory, usually involving animals.
Oh.
She said what I thought.
I've never heard that.
Was abducted when they were on a family picnic, like in the mountains. And she went running off into the forest, basically to go find a place to use the restroom in the forest. And she was gone for 2 hours. And when she came back, she had blood down her blouse, and she thought she'd only been gone 5 or 6 minutes. And her family was questioning her, going, you know, look, it's dark, and we were wondering where you were. And she said, well, I was following this beautiful stag. She said, I saw a beautiful stag. And I went, okay, I'm so creeped out. I don't even know what to do. And the other guy goes, and generally, they take people in generations. So you and your father may not have been the first time that you had been taken. And I went, you know what? We're shutting all this down right here because this is past my ability to deal with it.
Yeah, so my mom believed that she was as well. When we moved to California, she would wake up with these three little dots behind her ear. And then she saw a show about off-worlders, and it said that was a thing. You would wake up with those dots. But when I was one, we were in the house in Connecticut. We were in it was a Cape Cod house, so the first floor was really the second floor, and the first floor was the basement. And she was in the laundry room, had me up on the dryer in my little, bassinet thing. And she turned around, and there was a man standing in the laundry room. And he had big blue eyes and blonde curly hair and a red check shirt and jeans and white tennis shoes. And she said, what are you doing in my house? And he disappeared. So, you know, she went to her therapist, and her therapist gave her some psychosexual thing about the basement and, you know, never went back to that therapist. Her deep sexual desires, and then insinuated that he, the therapist, represented the man in the room. Yeah, that was the end of him. So 5 years later, my dad got transferred. We moved to Chicago, and we were in Chicago. My mom was reading the Times, and there was an article in there about a lady who was having a party, and this man appeared in her kitchen. Same description, same clothes. She went around asking everybody at the party, do you know this guy? Do you know this guy? No, 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 no. And finally she said to her husband, this guy doesn't belong here, and you need to get him out of here. So he went in the kitchen and said, hey, what are you doing in my house? Well, nobody invited you to this party, and he disappeared. And my mom said that was when she knew that it was real. That was when she really knew it was real. So cut to me saying it was never going to happen to me, and for however many years of my life, 25, back-to-back, being in two relationships with musicians that never slept. So I always slept with the lights on because they were always somewhere else doing something, or they were up watching TV while I was sleeping. And one of them went out of town, and I thought, oh, God, this is my chance. I'm going to go to bed at 10 o'clock. I'm going to turn all the lights off. I'm going to open all the windows, and I'm going to go to bed. So I go to bed, right, and I can hear people are at the pool. I can hear the splashing, the talking, the playing music. And I wake up. I go to sleep. I wake up. And I still hear the talking, I still hear the music, I still hear the splashing, the window's still open and the blinds are kind of swaying in the breeze. I don't tell this story a lot. Oh my God, here we go. But there were these little dudes walking around my bed.
Okay.
And they had clipboards, and they looked like they were sort of in, like, kind of medical attire. But they probably were not, maybe 3 feet, and did not look human. They were kind of a strange color, like a brownish color, and they were walking around my bed. And I just, because, you know, I grew up in a haunted house where weird stuff happened, so I literally just shut my eyes and suddenly went back to sleep. I woke up. Still the music, still the splashing, still the talking, still the laughing outside, still the breeze, but they were gone. So I never really told anybody, because even my partner at the time, even my mom, because I was so scared if I told my mom, either one, she would tell me more stories about her abductions I didn't want to hear, or two, it would bring attention to it and they would come back. So I never told anybody. And you know me, I tell everybody everything, so it's weird for me to hold on to something like that. But it literally terrified me. So I was talking to a new friend, a medium, now a very good friend, and she asked me about my near-death experience. I had never told her, and it was before I started talking about it on the air, and she said, who did you have in your car when you had your near-death experience? And, I mean, everybody knows that story now. I tell it all the time. But I had not told it at that time that I, you know, drove into a wall but actually drove through the wall with me as I drove through the nothing. And I told her that story, and she said that, you know, that I worked for the angel Azrael as a ferryman underneath Archangel Raphael, which I now firmly believe. At the time, that was like, what? But now Spirit has confirmed all of that for me. I bring them home, and I was going home prematurely, and maybe to have that experience so I knew what it was like when we bring them home. And then she said, and when did you see the aliens? And I was literally, Paul, sitting in a Panera Bread with a half bite of salad, like, in my mouth. Because, you know, I don't talk on the phone and eat a Panera Bread salad. And I said, what are you talking about? She's like, when did you see the aliens? And I told her what happened. She was the first person I ever told. And she said, and what was missing? And I said, what do you mean? She said, they took something. What did they take? And then I remembered that in 2012, when I had my hysterectomy, this is the first radio show where I've ever mentioned my hysterectomy twice, Paul. I had my hysterectomy. They couldn't find my right ovary. And they literally kept me under for an extra 45 minutes trying to find it because I had already lost the left one when I was 20 because my system was always a lot of trouble. Welcome to being a lovely intersex person. They could not find that ovary. And the doctor said, well, you know, sometimes they just evaporate. Or she said, they took that ovary. It was going to be trouble, and so they took it. So I don't really want to know what trouble means, but it starts like it's probably not a good thing. It starts with a C. And secondly, ovary had been trouble my entire life, cyst, after this, after that. And when I lost the left one when I was 20, I wasn't upset that I had lost it, but I was upset that I'd lost the good one because what was left was that horrible one. But she said that they came and they took it. She said, they've always watched you. You've been with them before. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to know this. And, maybe I'll tell this story if I go to Roswell. They came and they removed that problem for you. And I will never forget those. And I have not, to this day, when I was alone, slept with the lights off since that day, Paul.
I totally understand. For those of us that may have had these, as because we've discussed my working at the Queen Mary and at the Stanley Hotel and at the Comedy Store.
Sure, yes, yeah.
But it's usually treated as two separate files. There's the ET file or the non-physical humanoid people, and then there's paranormal. I think they're the same thing.
I do. I think, you know, I had a friend who was on Celebrity Ghost Stories, and he told me after his episode was over that they had wanted him to say that it was ghosts, but that he really believed that the problems in that house was off-worlders, that he had always thought that.
Yeah.
So, because I guess it's not Celebrity Ghost Stories if it's ETs. So then how weird that then I would fall into my friendship with Andrea Perrin, who grew up in the Conjuring house. Part of the Perrin family, featured in The Conjuring. And she believed a lot of the activity in The Conjuring was off-world activity in that house. And she's kind of just picked me up by the scruff of my neck and pulled me into the ufology community. And in the beginning of it, I was kind of like, oh, Annie, what am I doing here? But, you know, the more involved in it I get, the more I understand what I'm doing there. And the more I realize that I have a lot of stories about that kind of stuff that a lot of people don't have. And my mom believed that they had been tracking her since she grew up in the Hudson River Valley in Wappingers Falls, New York, which now there's a documentary. There's a shock doc on Discovery Channel about, it's called The UFOs of the Hudson River Valley. But from the time I was, you know, a fetus, she was saying, oh, my God, the Hudson River Valley is full of UFOs. And I guess it was a thing that a lot of people thought, but probably a lot of people didn't say in the early 40s when she got there. You know what I mean? So,
well, and
yeah,
you know, Roswell was, I believe, 47.
And my mom moved to the Hudson River Valley in 1944. But she said even then there were things, she said she didn't even know really how she knew about offworlders, but there were things that happened on that ground that she was sure that's what was going on.
Well, I do believe
we
are getting
right?
closer to the time where, I don't know if it'll be the LA Times that says we are not alone in the universe. We're very close.
Right. Right. Yeah, I agree. I think we're getting close, and it worries me because I know how – I mean, we have a hard enough time with Mexicans walking across the border. I mean, how are we going to react to that? Humans are scary. I used to do
a joke in my act, celestial cocktail parties. People will go, oh, no, it's an earthling. Move away from them. You know, they're just awful. They just dirty their own planet. They molest their own children. They're just move away from there. They're disgusting.
Right. Exactly. They pick their noses. They're just horrible. Yeah.
They're horrible people. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we are kind of like, we're like a nasty monkey. And monkeys can be nasty. But we're like even a nastier monkey, I think.
I was watching something on archaeology, which I find fascinating. And these amazing forensic artists that will take like a skull and or they took Tutankhamun's skull and they were able to do a lifelike representation, you know, like making a bust of from the skull. And I thought, what happens in like 2,000 years when they uncover a body from what would be maybe Southern California? Who knows, the planet may have changed then. And they're going, what are these silicone domes? There seems to have been two domes. These teeth aren't natural. And there seems to have been a lot of gelatinous goo around the mouth area. And I thought, that's what we've left. It's not really that they'll try to put a lot of religious, but no, those were just breast implants and Restylane and Botox.
They're going to be like, these people put plastic inside their cheeks on purpose? What was that about?
Was it a deep religious experience? What's happening?
Heckly. Was it tribal? Why did it happen? Was it a rite of passage? Yeah, you turn 40. That's the rite of passage. it's so strange, right? Yeah, I know. We're you know, I look at my kitten, and he's so... We're teaching him to sleep on the bed, right, because he's too old now to be in his little house. We call his bedroom, which is the crate. He's starting to calm down enough that he can sleep on the bed with us. And he sleeps, and then he gets up in the morning. We're still asleep, and he goes and he eats his little tiny amount of kibble that he likes. And then he drinks water, and then he goes and uses his box. And then he comes up on the bed, and he takes a bath. And then he goes back to sleep. And I think, God, that's discipline, right? He knows, and he does it every day the same way. Then he'll go sit in the window for a little bit till he gets sleepy again. Then he comes back to sleep. And it's all very, like, he's a very clean, regimented, disciplined little guy. And, you know, I'm like, when was the last time I brushed my teeth? Like, I have to remind myself to do normal human stuff. My mom used to say that human beings were just smart enough to be dangerous. And I really think there's something to that, you know, that idea that, that you know, we're so used to being the top dogs on the planet. And I always say every time I say that an elephant, a dolphin, and a raven laugh. But we so think we're the top of the food chain. And I think we've lost our sense of grounding. It's so much harder for us to ground than it is for my kids.
I agree with you. I had a discussion because I'm spending more time in Orange County and Huntington Beach, and I was talking to a woman who, it's interesting, and I don't know if it's the energy, but people are tending to blurt things out. You know, just blurt things out. I had a man a couple weeks ago just looked at me and goes, I drink vodka. And I nodded at him. He goes, did you hear me? I said, yes. And we both stood there. I said, well, that was a statement. Were you asking a question? I mean, I drink vodka. There was a period. He goes, no, I just wanted you to know. I said, oh, okay then. All right. But much like that, this woman, I was standing on the Huntington Beach Pier, and she turned to me and she said, I'm a Christian. I said, all right then. And she said, are you? I said, well, I'm sort of a Buddhist, Episcopal, Jewish Wiccan, yeah. And she stood there and she goes, but that you're never going to go to heaven. And I said, there's probably a good chance because I found it right here. And she looked at me and said, this is one of the most beautiful places in the world. People come from all over the world to come to Huntington Beach. So heaven may be right here. It's all kind of point of view, don't you find? And what I realized is she was looking for a fight. People are so aggressive. I'm like, I don't want to fight about it.
But does that fall under my hand you a bunny and ask why people are so mean while I sob into my hands? Do you understand that?
A little bit. I was at the Vons here in Long Beach, and I'm running, you know, quickly because I want to grab a few things and get home. I turn the corner, and there in the pickle aisle is a woman squat down. At first I thought, oh dear, is she going to? But she was crying. And the closer I got, I realized she had like her shopping list in one hand and a Michael Kors bag, very nice handbag, under her arm, but she's crying. So I got close enough that I thought, well, if she's nuts and she doesn't hit me with her purse, I said, are you all right? And she looked up with this tear-stained face. She said, it's just too much. And I thought, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
Whoever said they told her
too.
That they wanted pickles. But she said, there's so many. There's bread and butter, and I don't know if it's the dill pickles or the sweet pickles or these gherkins. I thought, oh, we all have our pickle aisle, sweetheart. I get it in this moment in time. It was just too much.
Oh, poor baby. Yeah.
I did. I said, well, can we get you up? Are you a little comfortable?
Yeah.
And can you call your friend? Does she need this for a recipe? She goes, I don't know. I had a really bad day at work. And I thought, I wanted to hug her. But it was that you're a stranger. She's uncomfortable. But the natural empathy. And I thought, isn't that true? We all have our own pickle aisle, and it's just that last thing, and you can't do it anymore.
It's true, right? It's that last rude text or – and, you know, for us, and I love what I do, and I know you love what you do, but we deal in people's suffering.
Yes.
People don't call us when they're happy. And so it's sometimes we take all that on top of our own stuff of living in the world. Everybody else is living in the world, and it's a lot, you know? It's a lot. I'm sorry that you people in Huntington Beach were wearing their insides on the outside, but, I mean, I think it happens more and more.
Well, what I think is interesting is because, well, you and I do this, we traverse a lot of the Southland. You know, I'm in Pasadena, some days I'm in Van Nuys, some days I'm in Huntington Beach. Today I was in Laguna earlier. And how people are adjusting to where we are in the COVID arc is interesting to me. Especially when you go into a restaurant because you must have a mask on. You must have a mask. Until you sit down, because then the COVID virus goes, oh, well, you know, I can't now because they're seated having something to eat. But I'll wait for them. Like, wow.
Exactly.
I get so confused.
I'll wait till you leave, and then I'll get deadly again.
Yes, then I'll jump on top of you. But I can't while you're chewing. That's the rule. I don't know.
I have a friend whose son is in high school, first year. And he was telling her, Mom, I don't understand. We have to wear these masks, but all the kids in class pull them down when they sneeze or cough.
Well, sneezing in your mask is the equivalent of wetting your pants. I'm telling you, it's so unpleasant.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Fantastic, sweetheart. You are utterly fantastic, and I adore you, and I can't believe our hour is up. Where can people find you online, sweetheart?
You can find me. I'm all over Facebook. You can find me at Paul J. Tarot Reader. You can book a reading with me there, and I'd love to read with you. You can find me at my own website, pauljasek.com. You can find me on Instagram at pauljasek, and those are the best places to find me.
That's amazing. Thank you for being here, my friend. What an honor to spend time with you, and let's do it again soon.
We'll do it again soon, and let's do it in real life.
Oh, we have to do it in real life, too. What's real life? Will you explain that to me real quick?
I'm not sure either, but I think it's we spend time in the same address.
Oh, okay. Is that all right? Is that where I tell you things like I had a hot dog today and I believe the devil is real? I just blurt things out.
You can if you'd like. I'll listen.
Okay. I love that story. All right. That's fantastic.
All right.
Thank you for being
Take
here,
care.
My friend. I think you are so special.
Love to your family.
It's joyful to spend time with you always. Thank you, honey. You take care. The wonderful Paul Jasek, everybody. If you missed those links, please find me at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. Please find the show at HauntedPlayground.com. Please find the network at LiveParanormal.com. Till I see you next Wednesday at 6 o'clock Pacific time, please seek peace and live in love and lead with kindness and embrace unity. Raise your vibration and know that a spooky and psychic life is the best kind of life there can be. I love you all. See you next time. Take care.